You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This episode of the show is going to be a mailbag, live mailbag. You can follow along on Instagram at the Denver Stiffs. I asked people on Twitter from my account at Locked On Nuggets to send me questions for this mailbag, and a lot of people responded. I think I got like 10 of them already here, and I'm sure a lot more will start popping up. So if you want to follow along with these types of things, you're going to want to follow those accounts, because I'll probably do this again in another couple of weeks, week or two. And if you want to participate, watch the show live and throw out some questions, this is the way to do it. So I did record. I started the show, and the Instagram version of it is live. Unfortunately, like the first 3 minutes of it cut out on first go, because anybody else. So I uploaded my Mac, or I updated it to the latest operating. Oh gosh, you guys are going to see how bad I am with computers. The latest operating system. There you go. Since then, I've been having nothing but crashes with different things. So unfortunately, you're going to lose the first couple of minutes, but that's okay, guys. It's you can catch it on Instagram, again, at the Denver Stiffs on Instagram if you want to check it out. Without further ado, let's go. Does the Jokic-Plumlee stretch need to end? It's not going to. This is a moot point. Like, everybody knows my thoughts on it. I hate – one of the bad things about this show is that I'm always kind of recording the same point, the same talking points. I don't like Jokic-Plumlee. I don't think it's a great lineup. I think there's things they can do to improve that lineup and make it better. But the more important point is it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. They just signed Plumlee to a big extension. So I think the more important question is how can they start to find meaningful, productive minutes for the two guys when they're on the court together. And I think I think there's things that they can do. I'm going to write about this for Denver Stiffs tomorrow, so look for that. But there's things they can do, I think, to kind of get the best out of it. But it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. Do you think – so Chris Molino asked me, do you think offense is running through Jokic? You know, I don't think they're like not going through Jokic. I just think that the things that they had working last year, the timing and the spacing of their cuts is not working. I think they need some guys to step up and make shots, namely Wilson Chandler. I think three-point shooting will do a lot to open up their game. And I think that Millsap and Jokic are kind of moving in the right direction offensively, but there are, like, you know, I think you look at a couple of key players, Wilson, Mason, and Moutier, of course, that I think it's more about those guys than it is about, you know, is it going through Jokic or not. It's more about the decision-making that happens when you go through those guys. What was your reaction when Plumlee took those two jump shots? Yeah, so this comes from Blazers Hate on – nice name, Blazer Hate on Instagram, and it's a good question. I'm going to talk about these two plays because actually if you go back and watch it, they were both from the exact same play. They were a sideline out-of-bounds play that the Nuggets run. And in both instances, the play was designed to get Moutier coming off of a screen for a three-pointer. Mason didn't like that option, and it was a slow-developing play, and Mason ends up trying to take that shot. When I say the Blazers had a really, really good game plan, one of the things that they did was they just didn't guard Mason or Kenneth. They just did not guard them and instead would just go clog the paint. There's things that the Nuggets need to do. It's not like, oh crap, they sagged off of Mason Plumlee. Now there's nothing for the team to do. There's things that a coaching staff can go into halftime and say, okay, here's how they're guarding you. This is what we're going to do that's going to get a wide open shot for Will Barton or Jamal Murray or whatever. And the Nuggets didn't do it, unfortunately. They tried some other counters, but they weren't, in my opinion, they weren't the best use of Mason Plumlee in those instances. So yeah, he took those two shots. They were ugly, but I don't necessarily blame him for that. That wasn't, you know, there wasn't a better option out there, and he kind of has to like hit those sometimes to make the defense honest. What is your confidence level in Wilson Chandler or the small forward position in general? This comes from Lucas Erickson on Instagram. Another great question. You guys are coming with great questions today, probably because I haven't done one of these in so long. You got all these questions built up. confidence level. You know, I think Wilson is a guy that when the offense gets rolling, he's going to get rolling because he's a guy, he's a rhythm player. I've always said this. He's very much a rhythm player, and the Nuggets' rhythm right now is really, really bad. So he's a casualty of that. He's not doing the Nuggets any favors. I mean, there's some times when he can, in my opinion, step up and hit shots or, you know, kind of try to help push through some of the malaise that the Nuggets are in. But at the same time, I think he's a guy that's just going to get better as the Nuggets get better. And my confidence level, you know, not horribly high in the short term, but higher, I guess, in the long term. And then I'm very curious to see what the Nuggets do behind him. Once Juancho Hernangómez gets back, I think he provides a different look. I'm curious to see what he's going to look like coming back from injury. I like Juancho a lot. I really hope that he can. I don't know what mono, like a recovery from mono, looks like. I hope that it hasn't really tanked his body too much, because playing in the NBA is tough, man. These guys have to be in peak physical condition, so hopefully he can bounce back. What seed do you see the Nuggets in by the All-Star break? That's a good question. Harry O'Meara. I think that the Nuggets will probably be like us in this. This is an easy answer, but like in that 6-8 range, because I think that's what kind of team that they are. The Clippers and Jazz kind of seem to be falling off. You look at the teams the Nuggets are competing with: Memphis, New Orleans. You know, those are the two. Who am I forgetting? Oh, and Portland, of course. And I think those are the teams you look at for those final three spots. I think Denver's going to hover around right here, but I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll say about Denver. Once they figure out their offense, they're going to be a phenomenal team. They're great at offensive rebounding and second chance points. They're great in transition. They look much better on the defensive end. The thing that sucks for them right now is they suck in the half court. They are a very bad half court team. Once they figure that out, I think they're going to be all right. And I think they will figure that out, by the way. This is a matter of time. I can't stand the guy who promotes Locked On. Hey, come on, man. You guys are... He cannot pronounce your name. You guys are more upset about the pronunciation of my name than I am. It's fine. Trust me. Is Denver just doing the same thing that Utah did and will have eventually be able to make an impact? And will, is Denver doing the same thing that Utah and will he, oh, to Trey Lyles. Okay, I get it. The follow-up question specified. Are they doing the same thing that they did to Trey Lyles? This is one of those things. I don't understand why Trey Lyles was brought in and to another extent, I guess, Tyler Lydon. And it's, again, neither one of those guys' faults. I think they both have things that they bring to the table. It's just, you look at this Nuggets rotation, they've got guys that have to play. Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap, Mason Plumlee. These guys have to play. Malone's not going to just cut one of those guys out of the rotation, nor should he. Kenneth Faried is there. The Nuggets have no small ball options. So Trey Lyles, I don't think, provides enough small, like, that's not a good small ball option, in my opinion. So where does he fit in the rotation? He's just so buried. So I don't really see what the long-term play is there. And, yeah, having him on the bench I don't think is, you know, how long can he be happy in that role and kind of what's the plan there? I don't see it at the moment, but, again, it's early. Things will happen throughout the course of the season. Someone will get hurt. Guys will get an opportunity, and that's when we'll really kind of know what these guys bring to the table. Did teams play the Nuggets like the Blazers did last night, last season? And if so, what did they do to have success against it? So I think what I interpret that to mean is, did people like pressure Jokic? Because what happened, in my opinion, the big difference was Portland, like I said, they had a good game plan. They knew not to pressure Plumlee or Faried. They really sagged off those guys. And then they applied a ton of pressure to everybody that had the ball on the perimeter, including and especially Nikola Jokic, but also the point guards. They just got right up into him in space. And, yeah, a lot of teams play that way kind of consistently all the time. Milwaukee in particular likes to get up and get into defenders. Golden State, another one. There's things Denver can do to, I don't think that this is, I talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday. I don't think this is a matter of Denver can't handle you know, oh, this is the solution. They've cracked the code on how to guard this team. It's not like that. There's so much stuff. I just encourage you to check out my article tomorrow, because it's easy to illustrate these things with video clips. There's so many things the coaching staff can do to counter what they're doing. It's not like they've pried open this weakness that the Nuggets have, at least not in my opinion. So to answer your question, yes. Will Wancho be out of the rotation? We don't know. It really depends on his health. I'm guessing the Nuggets, you know, they didn't have media availability today, so maybe they didn't practice. They always say there's no practice today, but sometimes they practice and then there's just no media availability. Tomorrow they will. I'm really interested to see how one of the things that will be reported on by myself will be whether or not Wancho was able to go, you know, for the entirety of the practice and just kind of how he looked. I'm going to hop on over back to Twitter here for a second. To follow up on my, this is comes from Saad Abdul Kader. To follow up on my previous question regarding improvement in coaching, how would you rank Malone's ceiling? Do you think other teams will try and succeed in using what Portland did? Okay, so I just answered the Portland one of that question. Malone's ceiling, you know, I don't know. It's so hard to, this is a tough question because for one, we don't really know what coaches are doing. You know, we get an idea, but I would say that my read on Malone, which take with a huge grain of salt, is that his biggest flaw as a coach and as a leader is that he can be very, very stubborn. And so, you know, and stubbornness, especially in the NBA, I don't think that's a good trait. I think especially now when you look at really across all sports, but especially basketball, you look at some of the best coaches, there's a lot of good young coaches. Guys like under 50 years old who are, I think, innovative and open. Like, you know, Stevens becomes kind of the, you know, people get annoyed about how much you talk about him. But one of the things about him is that he's fine with thinking outside of the box. I don't know if Malone's an out of the box kind of guy. And he has the most out of the box type player I think I've ever seen in a Nuggets uniform in Nikola Jokic. So I don't know what his ceiling is. There's just it takes a lot of speculation, but I do think if there was one thing I could kind of say that Malone needs to work on, it's probably some of the stubbornness and also just, you know, great leaders, I think, communicate differently to all different types of people. In my experience with coaches, I never liked playing for hard-ass coaches. I never liked playing for guys that were just like, you know, grind and axe, everybody, intensity, energy, effort, all this stuff. I liked when I understood the game plan and understood, you know, I was much more of a cerebral type person, and I connected with coaches that were more of a cerebral type coach. Other people are different, and they don't need to be explained it to. They just need to be fired up. So I think good leaders can work with a wide variety of people, and to what extent Malone can do that, I'm really not sure. Will Jokic make the All-Star team this year? And do you see any of the Nuggets players participating in any one of the events? I think Jamal Murray will play in the rookie sophomore game. My guess is he is going to be, you know, high enough up on that to play in that. I don't think Jokic will make the All-Star team this year. There's just too much talent in the Western Conference. You know, we'll see. He could really take off and end up having, you know, maybe the coaches will vote him in, but I just don't think it'll happen. Maybe next year. Is Malik Beasley ready? This comes from Josh Buckbird. Probably not, but I think the minutes are good for him. He's a guy that I think is going to be a quick learner. Let me see. What other questions do we have? My buddy Diddy. Should the Nuggets play more Jokic, Fareed, Millsap, Fareed lineups? This is coming from Chris Molino again. It's funny. The Jokic, Fareed lineup hasn't been very good over the last couple weeks, and I have a theory why. All of those minutes are coming with the backup point guard, Emmanuel Mudiay. I would love to see them try that lineup with, like, Will Barton at the point or even Jamal Murray. One of the questions I'm really interested for, actually, this kind of brings up an interesting point. One of the things I'm interested for in the coming weeks, Malone's rotation has been really, really steady for most positions. Shooting guard, small forward, center. And then the point guard, it's kind of been whoever's been hot, but the rotation has been the same. It's just like whoever closes the game. So I'm kind of curious to see if Malone deviates from that at all and maybe goes somewhere else. one of the things obviously he could do is Jokic kind of plays the first 6 minutes, then comes out for three. Millsap plays the first 9 minutes and then comes out for the last three, and then Jokic comes back in. It'd be interesting to see if he swaps that and maybe tries to play Fareed for the first nine and Millsap with a different unit. So I don't know. Should they play that lineup? I don't think it matters as long as they don't have – as long as they're not producing good shots. So if they do stick with Moutier, you know, playing a bunch of these minutes, I just think they have to hammer home for him to kind of – focus on shot selection, not just for himself, but for that entire unit. Because when you have Jokic, Fareed, Barton on the court together, you should be able to run second units off of the court, and the Nuggets aren't doing that. More minutes for Manimal, somebody says. Who should be the starting point guard? To me, this isn't really that hard of a question in terms of like who deserves it. You guys know my thoughts on Moutier. I'm just not very high on him, and I think Murray's been pretty bad too. But I think in a different way. So I think they have it right with Murray starting and Moody as the backup. But if you ask me, if I were the Nuggets front office, and they're working with a lot more information and they're smarter guys than I am, but if I was the Nuggets front office, I would probably put like January 1st as sort of my deadline of like, okay, we might have to abandon ship on this like point guard by 19 and 20 year olds if by January 1st the Nuggets don't seem to show any signs of turning a corner, because I think that the point guard play is pretty significant, a pretty big reason for why they're struggling so much. But it's a good question. I see a lot of people that are, you know, Moutier fans that think he's been outplaying or should be the starter. The only reason I could see for that is maybe you could say that Murray and Plumlee are a better combination. I think statistically those two together have been a pretty big positive, even under like 15-minute sample size. But if you look at Plumlee, he can't shoot. He's not really effective outside of like the restricted area. So when you run pick and roll, and this happened in the Portland game, it doesn't create an advantage when you run the Moutier-Plumlee pick and roll. And you think about Plumlee in Portland, he had CJ and Dame. Coming off of that screen, Plumlee's like can set really, really good screens and get those guys open for some mid-range and elbow jumpers. But with Moutier, it's kind of lost since he's shooting 30% from the mid-range. Have I been surprised by Malik getting consistent minutes so far? Nope. Who else are they going to go to with injuries? I think, you know, this is you look at his progression to not being in the rotation last year to now he's not in the rotation, but if there's an injury, he is. And maybe next year he ends up playing Barton's role or something like that if Barton goes elsewhere, which I hope not because I like Barton a ton. I'm a big Barton fan. Is Jamal just naturally a streaky shooter, or do you think he can find consistency? I don't think he's a streaky shooter. I think the offense right now isn't producing great looks for him, although I will say he had one miss yesterday that was just like a wide open perfect shot that I was kind of shocked he missed. I think, again, him and Wilson both, I think shooters in general, once the offense gets flowing better, I think all the shooters from the three-point line are gonna look better. Ironically enough, the one guy who's shooting well above what would be expected is Emmanuel Moutier, and maybe these things go hand in hand. It's kind of funny. Would Wilson moving to the four revive his season? Yes, Wilson is a four. He is a stretch four. Wilson's value at this point in his career, I think, comes not exclusively, but mostly from being able to play the four, where he's a nightmare for opposing defenses. The Nuggets aren't doing that this year. I think it's a big, not disservice to him. He's got to play whatever role it is, but I think it's a big reason why he's struggling. Do the Nuggets need to bring in a sports psychologist to help Jokic with his lack of interest on certain nights? It's funny, man. One of the things that I've during the draft process, the team will always take players out for like dinner or something and kind of get to know them and ask them. And a lot of them ask like psychology questions, and they have like psychologists evaluate some of the answers and stuff. It's kind of funny. Please talk about options of bringing up Torrey Craig from the G League, possible trades, waves, and someone else on the G League team. Torrey Craig's lighting it up. He's been looking good. I think he played tonight. I think he might be playing right now, actually. You know, he's a long-term play, not a short-term play. We'll just see. I don't really have a whole lot to say on Torrey Craig, other than I really like him and think that he was a very interesting option for Denver. But they just have so many guys, right? They have too many guys that I don't see where he's going to fit in. Do you think the Nuggets are going to make the playoffs? I do. I do think they'll make the playoffs. I mean, they're on pace for it at the moment. Which Nugget would you want to be locked in a broken elevator with? This is from my buddy Mark. I don't want to be locked in an elevator with any human, but let alone any Nuggets player. I don't think there's, you know, Thrill, maybe Barton. But, you know, I don't it's not like I'd want to be locked in an elevator with anybody. Will Moutier end up starting by year's end? I highly doubt it. And it looks like that's it. I think I got to everybody's questions today, guys. So thanks for the mailbag. I appreciate it. It's always fun interacting. If you don't, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Nuggets, at the Denver Stiffs. And we'll try to do one of these again here in a couple weeks. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.